was mercy is unlimited.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen,
a prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to this series entitled Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, a prophet for our times. We're filming in the beautiful church of St. Paul the Apostle on 9th Avenue and 59th Street in New York City. There's no way to look at the life of Bishop Fulton Sheen without talking about his opposition to communism and the other isms that were very much a part of the day in which he lived, the isms of fascism and Nazism. He was a tremendous voice speaking out against these things. He used to say that what is needed is not a voice that's right when everybody else is right, but what is needed is a voice that's right when everybody else is wrong. It wasn't so much that other voices were wrong, but many of them were silent. But Bishop Sheen spoke out very strongly against communism. He had studied it in great depth, as he studied all the subjects and topics that he spoke about. He learned it, as he would say, from the inside out. Reading, studying, even getting to know communists. He was to convert the head of the Communist Party in the United States, Louis Boutens. When Boutens wanted to meet with him, because Bishop Sheen was so critical of communism, especially after World War II, and Boutens wanted to try to get him to tone down his attack on communism in the United States. And he met with him for dinner, and the bishop said to him, I didn't come to talk about economics or politics. He said, I came to talk about the state of your soul. And Boutens left the table very upset. It was in a restaurant that we were going to have a meal together. And 7 years later, he called Bishop Sheen back and he said, I'm now ready to talk about the state of my soul. So he was certainly a powerful opponent of communism. In fact, they dubbed him communism's enemy, public enemy number one. Certainly an enviable title, huh? He was a champion of the truth. In the 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s, he spoke out very strongly against these isms, fascism in Italy particularly, Nazism in Germany, communism in Russia, and all that would spread from Russia. And of course, he knew about Our Lady's prophecy, 1917, there at Fatima in Portugal, when she said, if people do not heed my message and prayer and penance, you know, bring about the conversion of many souls, she says, then Russia will spread her errors throughout the world. So he knew this. Communism began that very year, that very month, of October 1917, the very month when Our Lady allowed the children, even the people, the vast crowd of 75,000 people that were there at the Cova de Iria in Fatima, to see the miracle of the sun. The sun began to dance in the sky and almost seemed to hurl itself down to the earth, ready to consume the world, and only to go back. It was a great sign to the people. In that very month, the era was beginning in Russia that would threaten the world. And Bishop Sheen spoke against that in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. In the 50s, in the 60s, and the 70s, to the very end of his life, he readdressed the question of these isms, not in terms of needing to speak against them as a political or economic type of movements, or even as a godless movement, each of them were. But he wanted to get to the root causes. Why were people attracted to these isms? Couldn't they see the wrongs that were there? What was the underlying weakness in the Christian West that we could not deal with effectively opposing the spread of communism? And he wanted people to be aware, so obviously, that there would never be another series of movements like that. In fact, as Pope John Paul II has said, the conflict of the church in the world today is no longer with the isms, but has moved from them to the product of these isms, which is now the culture of death. namely contraception, abortion, euthanasia, stem cell research, all of this which is rooted in that disregard, that almost atheistic disregard of the sanctity of life as a gift of God.
Just as Pope Paul VI in the encyclical Humanae Vitae was a prophet about what would happen if people did not follow the Church's teaching on the transmission of life, Bishop Sheen also had made many statements, and particularly talking about the problems of contraception and how it would lead to abortion, and how it would lead to a family disruption, how it would lead to violence. And we've seen that. We've seen that in the world.
We will be known as good Catholics, not because we say we are defending Christ, but because we are defending life. And I think that was his statement about the pro-life movement.
This is where the Church finds its struggle today, culture of death, and needs to oppose it with the culture of life and the building of a civilization of love.
Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Return to Bishop Sheen, he would say that when people were talking, well, is it a matter in Europe in the 40s and the 30s between choosing between communism and Russia and fascism and Italy and Germany and Nazism, Bishop Sheen, it wasn't the ultimate question, because he said basically they were the same. He said that their mode of operating was hardly any. There was hardly any difference in them. For example, both of them believed in the fact that the individual exists for the sake of the state. So the state was supreme and the rights of the individual were totally suppressed. Secondly, both were intolerant of any type of political opposition, and that's why they became immediately dictatorships. Destroy the opposition. Thirdly, they hated minorities. And particularly, they hated religion, and the religions that they particularly hated were Catholicism and Judaism. Began persecutions of the Catholics and the Jews, and we know this in the Nazi concentration camps, the Jewish people that were sent there, even Catholics and priests, nuns who were sent into these concentration camps and suffered. Part of that worldwide persecution by the isms, no matter whether it was the fascism, the Nazism on the one hand or communism on the other. Their persecutions took away the people's freedoms and at the same time were an affront to God. So these isms denied the freedom of the press. They hated God and, as I mentioned, were very deeply anti-Christian, anti-religious. And so Bishop Sheen saw all of this and spoke out, and that's why he said the ultimate question was not a choice between communism and fascism. He said there was hardly any difference. He said the ultimate was the choice between dictatorship and democracy. And that's why he took on all of the isms, one after the other. But he did believe that communism was the greater of the evils. He said of communism, he said communism was Soviet fascism. Communism was fascism gone mad. He considered all of the dictators, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, you know, they were all dictators as far as he was concerned, and all of them tried to justify their own system of dictatorship. But he ultimately pointed out that they took away the God-given dignity and freedom of the people, and persecuted their rights of freedom of religion, freedom of choice to be able to live a good life according to the dignity they had as human beings. And that's why he was relentless in fighting against them. And he saw above all that after World War II, that he said that people, because of the confusion, because of all the suffering that had gone on in the world in the Second World War, he said people would be more open to listen, to seek the truth. They were confused, and that's why the America's alliance with Russia broke down after World War II, and people began to see clearly the evil that was coming out of Russia. And Bishop Sheen had been pointing this out for many, many years. In fact, he was in many ways persecuted. He was in many ways called an extremist because of his position. And no doubt that some of that was due to people who either were embracing the philosophies of these isms, particularly communism here in the United States. There was strong communist sentiment, particularly among intellectuals, teachers, professors, and the like. And so he was criticized for this, but he saw clearly what communism was. He said, if you begin something on the wrong basis, namely to take away the existence of God, the right of religious freedom, the right to be the person God called you to be, if you take that away and you move logically from there to other points, he said, you'll never come back to the truth. You'll never get back on track. And so that's why he spoke out so clearly for decades in any way he could, his books, his sermons, his radio talks, his TV programs.
I have literally hundreds and hundreds of audio tapes of Bishop Sheen, his Good Fridays in New York, and his other teachings and his shows and radio shows and the Catholic Hour. Just a marvelous education in the faith.
Communism, he said, was a complete philosophy which mobilizes souls for economic and secular ends. And he wanted to oppose this, again, by following the teachings of the Church, the encyclicals of Pope Pius XI, who wrote against Nazism, Pius XII, who spoke about the mystery of the Church, spoke against the evils of communism. And he wanted, as both a philosopher and a prophet of our times, he spent his life, again, fighting communism right to the very end of his life. Now, he made a distinction, as he said, between communism and Russia. As he calls it, the distinction between the sin and the sinner. I have in my hands here now a whole group of talks that Bishop Sheen had given in regard on his Catholic Hour, and almost all of them here in this particular number of talks I'm holding, the manuscripts that he read over the radio, all of them deal with communism. The titles of them: Russia and the Faith, Communism and the Church, Communism and the Revival of Passion, How to Meet Communism, Communism and the Family, Russia and Our Lady. Certainly in everything he wrote, even in his famous book on Communism and the Conscience of the West, he says that the strength of communism was due to the fact that Christianity had begun to weaken. In other words, the Christian West had begun to lessen its image of Christianity. It lost its vitality, its commitment to the truth. And this showed, he said, in many, many ways. He would make various comparisons between the communist world and the Western world. He said there was a great divorce. He said, in the West, he said, we have the truth. But the communists in the East, he said, they had the zeal and the fire. They had the energy, the love of sacrifice, the dynamism. He said, we in the West, we had the light. He said, but it was a light without heat. In other words, it was a truth to which we gave intellectual assent, but we missed that dynamism of commitment, committing ourselves to the living out of this truth. As he said, he used to put it so beautifully, he would say, we have Christ in the West without the cross. No sacrifice, no discipline, no zeal, no struggle to be better. In the East, he said, they had the cross without Christ. They had sacrifice imposed on them, persecution, concentration camps, deportation, Siberian labor camps and the like. All of that they had in the East. And he used to feel that God was preparing the people of Russia. He always made a distinction between the Russian people and communism. He said, communism is only a very passing phase in Russia. Let me read to you what he wrote on that. He said on that in one of his talks on the Catholic Hour. He said, it is part of the general confusion of our time to assume that when a man speaks against communism, that he thereby is anti-Russian. It is this confusion which we sought to dissipate. It really ought to be clear to everyone that an ideology is distinct from a people. The ideology of Nazism has passed, but the German people survive. In like manner, Russia existed long before communism came into being, and it will continue to exist long after communism has been forgotten. Communism is so little a part of the Russian people that it has existed only about 30 years in the almost 1,000 years Christian history of Russia. He used to say that because of the persecution, the oppression of the people, that they were being purified, he said. God was going to raise up a great people in the church in Russia. And you know, even now, they're beginning to experience a religious revival in Russia. Seminaries, and many young men going to the seminaries, young men and women going into religious communities there in Russia. Again, God has been purifying this people. And did not Our Lady ask specifically that Russia be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, not only as a part of what was necessary to avoid war, but also to bring about the conversion of Russia, the era of peace, the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. And Bishop Sheen believed in all of these things very ardently and worked for that. In fact, even predicted that the fall of communism in Russia would begin in the early 1980s, and the Holy Father consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in 1984, and Sister Lucia, the remaining visionary of Fatima, said that heaven had accepted that consecration. And it was shortly after that the one by one all the nations in the Soviet bloc of Eastern Europe began to abandon communism, and finally the Berlin Wall fell down. Europe was once again one unity. At least it could claim to be all free nations. Communism was gone without a war, without catastrophic destruction in the world. And so he felt that Russia was being prepared by God through this scourge of communism, through its dictatorial means, to be a people of deep religious commitment, of the willingness of sacrifice. What he said was missing in the West would come from the East. He felt that through the church in Russia, the church in the West would be revived. And that's certainly so necessary. He felt that great missionaries would go out from Russia to re-evangelize. He talks in one of his tapes. I remember listening to one of his priestly retreats about a young woman in Russia. He said she was a very attractive woman. And this story was told to him by a young man who had been with a communist youth group. First they had to clean up the streets from drunkards and people that caused crime and fights and the like, gangs and all. He broke them all up. This young man was a leader of a communist group of young men who were very strong and were assigned to this task. And when they had successfully cleaned up this particular area of all these types of peoples, the gangs and people, the criminals and the like, their leader said to this young man, the communist leader said, "Now you have to begin to attack Russia's greatest enemy," which would have been believers, those who have faith. And so they broke into prayer groups. And this young man, who was in charge of the group there, he said there was a young woman at this prayer group, very attractive. He said, and they beat her. And he said, they even knocked out some of her teeth. And she was disfigured by this. And then a couple of nights later, they broke into another prayer group, and that young woman was there again. They beat her even more severely and left her bloody and so on. And a few nights after that, they broke into a third prayer group, and that young woman was there again. And one of the members of the gang was going to beat her, and the young man, who was the leader, said, "Leave her alone." They had been told that religion was an enemy of Russia. And so what he did is this young man just ripped a page out of the New Testament, the Bible, and one of those people at the prayer group, and he read it, and he said, "This is no threat to Russia. There's nothing wrong with this." He abandoned the Communist Party, the Communist Youth Group. He became a believer, and he abandoned ship and sought asylum in Alaska, and later on, a communist group was sent to kill him. He was put to death. He was killed by spies. And Bishop Sheen told that story of how this young man was so affected by the courage of a young woman who suffered, lost her beauty, was disfigured, suffering for Christ in Russia. And he said that this will be what Russia will someday be able to send in terms of renewed faith and missionaries to the whole world. Bishop Sheen loved the Russian people and prayed, and no doubt, to Our Lady of Fatima to fulfill her promise to bring about the conversion of Russia and world peace. This is what he strove to do, and he strove to do it not only by pointing out the evils of communism, but to stir up in the church in the West, Church in America, Western Europe, the Americas, to stir up once again a living love of Christ, willing to sacrifice and to spend ourselves for Jesus.
Forgiveness is reciprocal. We are forgiven by God as we forgive our neighbor. Our Lord mentioned that in the continuation of the gospel. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. If we, however, hold grudges, we shut off the forgiveness of God. He cannot give it to us. Now, this forgiveness of God sometimes will require great effort on our part. I have friends, husband and wife, who suffered a great deal in prison. But before they were in prison under the communists, the husband was visited by a Nazi. The husband and wife were Jew, born Jew, but then Lutheran. And the husband said to the Nazi, "What have you been doing the last 2 weeks?" He said, "Killing Jews." "How many did you kill?" "Oh," he said, "about 30,000 in 2 weeks." "Were you in this particular village?" "Yes." "How many Jews did you kill there?" "Oh," he said, "I killed every Jew in that town."
Do you ever ask God for forgiveness? No, I don't believe there's any such thing as forgiveness. And the husband said, let us see. My wife, Sabina, is upstairs asleep. She has not heard this conversation. I shall call her down. He said, Sabina, this is the man who killed your father, your mother, your three brothers, and two sisters. Sabina looked at him intently and then threw her arms around his neck and kissed him and said, as God forgives you, I forgive you. And the Nazi threw himself on his knees and begged forgiveness. So forgiveness is reciprocal.
We have to learn from them dedication and zeal so that we can gain back the image of Christ. A Christ who is no longer soft or easy and making us all feel very comfortable, but rather a Christ who challenges us with the cross, a Christ who can truly save us. May the Lord give you his peace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.